Today, I consider myself the host of Taste of Premier.
Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you? Great to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. You are now officially the most viewed guest on Taste of Premier.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Hopefully, good thing. But it's definitely a sign that Azure's on top of everyone's mind, and something is very interesting and appealing to people to learn more about.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we're doing an Azure box set because this is going to be like number 5, volume 5 in the Azure series. And go ahead.
Absolutely. When you and I were talking earlier, I highlighted that Azure is really comprised of like 30, I think it's either 33 or 35 core billable components. So, Azure is just exploding in depth and breadth of capabilities. And so when you say Azure, it includes a lot of different things, and we've talked about many of them in some of the previous shows, and certainly discussed how Premier and Microsoft Services can help customers leverage the cloud and learn more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just awesome. It's incredibly cool technology too. I set mine up. I went and everybody that's got an MSDN subscription has the opportunity to set up and play with their own Azure environment. And so I did that, and I've got a couple of boxes set up and some clients, and played with setting up a domain. And it's awesome. It's actually a lot of fun to do, and I could see why customers like it. It's easy to use. It's very manageable. There's just no downside.
That's right. Absolutely. So you can do lots of different things, that's for sure. Whether you're building mobile apps or building line of business apps or building an e-commerce site or standing up servers, regardless of what you're doing, Azure has some capability that can help customers.
Yeah, and I don't have to buy hardware. I don't have to air condition a data center. I don't have to hire staff to babysit.
Yep.
It's just awesome. It's cool.
Yeah, and when you're done with it, you just shut it down and you no longer have to pay for it.
Yeah, and not even that, right? If I need to scale it, I just scale it. If maybe I don't need as many procs or as much hard drive space in a server, I can always go down if I need to. So that's cool.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So you've got some cool stuff to show us today. We're going to use PowerShell, right?
That's right. Yeah. A lot of our enterprise viewers are very likely versed in PowerShell, and if they're not, as I mentioned, Premier and Microsoft Services can certainly help them get there to be very proficient and fluent in PowerShell. But PowerShell can be used to automate a lot of different products and applications we have, inclusive of Azure. So we'll talk a little bit about how to do that, walk through some basics, and also walk through some things that might not be so basic.
Absolutely. So let's get started. Show us what you got.
Sure. Absolutely. So Lex, before we walk into the raw PowerShell environment, I wanted to highlight some really cool things that exist in Visual Studio that actually emits PowerShell scripts automatically. So I'm using Visual Studio 2013, and the latest update that was released at the, I actually not for sure if it was Build or TechEd, but those events were very close to one another. Update 3 actually included a number of improvements in with regards to management and automation around PowerShell, or I'm sorry, around Azure. So if you open up Visual Studio and click on the new project, and under the cloud project category, there's I'm going to go ahead and indicate I want to build a new ASP.NET web application. And interesting to note is in here, it actually knows that I've previously associated my Azure subscription or my different Azure subscriptions I have within Visual Studio. So it's asking me to pick which subscription I want to associate this particular deployment with. And when I click next, this is actually really cool. So picture a developer who needs a server for building a test application or kicking the tires with some new project or initiative. And instead of going to the IT operations folks and having to secure hardware or provision maybe a virtual machine on some private cloud, Visual Studio makes it very easy for developers to actually provision virtual machines directly from Visual Studio. So there's a couple of options customers have for deploying a web application. One is they can actually deploy the application into something we call an Azure website. So these are, think of it as IaaS as a service. So a customer doesn't have to worry about managing the servers that IaaS is running on. They're just leveraging, you know, some web farm that we have provisioned in the cloud, and they want to push their application into it. So that's one option customers have within Visual Studio. The other one that's really cool, though, is a virtual machine. So customers in the past could have gone into the image gallery, as we've shown in previous episodes, and provisioned a virtual machine very quickly through the portal or using PowerShell maybe. And they have to would be required in turn to configure that virtual machine to have IaaS, you know, installed and configured appropriately to host that application. Visual Studio automates that completely. So if I click virtual machine, it'll provision a VM in Azure. It'll install and configure IaaS in that virtual machine. It'll open up ports to allow me to publish directly from Visual Studio to that virtual machine. And it'll also open up ports to allow the web application to be accessible publicly. So if I go into the next part of the wizard, this is actually where I can give the server a name and select what size VM and, you know, provide some credential information and so forth. Once you do that, I actually I've done that in advance with this other project. It actually produces this published web application VM.ps1. So this is a big PowerShell script that will actually take all of your bits needed to make your web application function and publish it directly onto that virtual machine that's provisioned by Visual Studio. So I can literally redeploy this application just by, you know, right-clicking and say publish. And Visual Studio will actually run this PowerShell script and publish my application to that virtual machine.
Wow, that's really cool. So, and then the other big benefit, I think, is that because you're using a wizard, right, you don't have to worry about, did I remember to, you know, to open those ports up? Did I remember to, you know, to do this or do that? Because it's all done for you automatically in the wizard.
That's correct. And, you know, the cool thing about this, you know, if once a developer is ready maybe to publish this application to a different virtual machine environment, maybe to roll it into production, they can hand over this set of scripts to their IT operations, you know, counterparts, and in conjunction with the package, you know, the zip file needed to actually deploy their application. And the you know, IT ops resources can actually use this PowerShell script, you know, using this example that I have highlighted here, to actually deploy the application maybe to a production environment. So really cool stuff.
Wow. Yeah. So that's all they need is the script and the zip file.
That's it. Yeah.
Wow.
It's very, very easy and straightforward. So yeah, this new add-in in Visual Studio also allows you to very easily manage the and configure the virtual machines. You can see I actually now have the Server Explorer, and I've expanded my Azure tab, and it's showing my Taste of Premier web server, and you can see all of the ports that are open automatically to allow Visual Studio to publish, and your remote desktop is opened, and you can see PowerShell remote management is open. So you can actually configure your virtual machine through Visual Studio as well. You know, I can connect to it directly, can shut it down. I can capture the image and maybe use this as a template for maybe the production environment I want to roll my application into. So there's a lot of things you can do directly in context in Visual Studio without having to use, you know, PowerShell or the Azure portal. So really cool and powerful stuff.
That's awesome.
So that's you know, some of the you know, magical things that exist in you know, Visual Studio kind of accelerate you know, building out, you know, automation to be able to script things through PowerShell. So let's go ahead and jump into what we can use PowerShell for to, manually or as part of maybe a script to, you know, to perform some other activity outside the context of Visual Studio. So on my machine, I have the Azure PowerShell commandlets already installed, and I've went ahead and opened the prompt with font size enlarged so you all can see it. And one of the first things that you'll have to do is configure the PowerShell environment to connect it up to your Azure subscription. And the way you do that is simply with a PowerShell commandlet called add Azure subscription.
Okay, so that gets you connected.
That's right, yep. So this is actually establishing a connection between this PowerShell environment and my my cloud environment, basically all the subscriptions and VMs and so forth I have running in Azure. There's a couple ways customers can do this. Another way they can do this is by using a certificate, where they can actually download a certificate, so instead of having to log in every time. If the customer has maybe a build machine, in the case of an application that automatically deploys an app into Azure, and they don't want to have to log into that machine all the time or specify credentials, they can just have a settings file pre-populated on that machine that allows all the commandlets just to work in the future. But I'm opting for this particular method so I can actually specify what account I want to use. So once I've done that, I actually have the Azure portal open here, and I just want to highlight that my particular subscription or my account has two subscriptions associated. I have an MSDN subscription and this other internal one. So I have to tell PowerShell which subscription I want to use. The way I can get a list of subscriptions is by saying get Azure subscription. And you see it's emitting the subscriptions, and you can see the subscription I see in the portal as well as my MSDN subscription.
I was just going to say most customers won't run into that, right? Most of them will probably just have one subscription.
Yeah, in some cases, it depends on what the customer is doing. Sometimes there might be somebody in IT operations that manages a QA environment and a production environment. They might have a number of subscriptions that they can use. They might use them as containers to.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So, maybe I've got a test environment or a dev environment and then a production environment. Yeah, so that makes sense. That's cool.
Yep. So now I have to tell Azure, or tell PowerShell rather, which one I want to use. So I'm going to say set Azure subscription. And I'm just going to give it the name of the subscription I want to use. So now I'm actively, any PowerShell commandlet that I run now will actually act upon this particular subscription. So for instance, if I wanted to get a list of VMs that were in this subscription, I can actually run a commandlet called get Azure VM, and I should see the Taste of Premier VM. And you can see it's showing that both Taste of Premier and this Ryberry Test VM, so there's two VMs that are running under this service. So service is another nuance in Azure to allow you to containerize services or deployments that you make in Azure. So you have the subscription, and within the subscription you have cloud services, and those cloud services have all the VMs and corresponding elements needed to be able to allow you to host a particular workload. So in this case, I've got two VMs that are part of the same service name.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I got a question for you. Is there a way to list all of the Azure commandlets? Do we have a way to, or is it documented somewhere so that if somebody that's watching the show wants to go and grab all of those, what do they have to do to get that?
Yep. So actually, it looks like it's wanting me to update the help. So I was hoping that this would actually very quickly run. But you can actually just type in get-help, and in the commandlet that you actually are looking for help on, and it will give you information on that particular commandlet as well as example usage. Any parameters you might need to pass to that and so forth. So it looks like this is actually going on and on.
Yeah, sorry. So how did you get the list of all of the applets?
So I actually
I saw you did get-help.
Yeah, so
I see. AZ asterisk. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so actually, I just typed in AZ. Now I can see all the ones that are associated with Azure. So these are all, you see, there's a lot of commandlets that are actually associated with Azure to allow me to manage every aspect from networking to, storage and disks that are associated with VMs or cloud applications and so forth. So lots of different things. You even see some PHP-related commandlets, so lots of different things that you can automate.
That's awesome.
Once you have a VM, one of the things that you might want to do with that VM is actually connect to it. And one of the ways that you can do that is actually, downloading an RDP file to actually remote desktop into that VM. And you can do that very easily from the portal, as we've shown on previous episodes, just by going to that particular going to that particular VM, and you can click the connect option down here at the bottom. Well, you can do that from PowerShell as well. There's a really easy to use PowerShell commandlet called get Azure remote desktop file. And this actually requires you to just pass in the service name and the name of the VM that you want to download the RDP file for. So as I showed earlier, the name of the service is called Taste of Premier. And PowerShell has this really cool tab completion. If you don't know the name of complete name of a particular parameter you want to specify, you just type in the first couple letters and you can actually cycle through. If there's others that start with S-E-R, I could have just keep hitting tab and it would cycle through them. So I'm going to say Taste of Premier. And now I need to tell it the name of the VM that I want to download the RDP file for. So that the particular server I'm going to download it for is my Taste of Premier VM. They're named the same in this case. And I can do a couple things. I can actually launch my PowerShell environment directly. So this will actually download RDP file and fire up remote desktop. Or I can actually specify the directory that I want to actually store the RDP file. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell I want to store it in psdemo/ call it taste.rdp.
Cool.
And it was successful. So if I go ahead and open up my local machine here, bring this over. If I go to PS demo, you can see taste.rdp. I can double click on that and it's all pre-configured with the correct port information and so forth to actually connect directly to this this running VM. So that's a really quick and easy way to be able to download that outside of the portal. None of these commands we've run so far, required us to do anything in the Azure portal. So what if you have a whole bunch of these guys and you want to actually pull down the RDP file for all of the VMs that are running? So if you saw earlier, I actually have two VMs running as part of the service. So there's a really there's a fairly straightforward way to do that using a command pipelining. So this is actually sort of an advanced PowerShell feature, but it allows you to actually take the output of one command and feed it into the input of another. So one way that, what the commandlet we're going to use to actually get the listing of VMs is we're going to use the get Azure VM commandlet again. And I'm going to give it the name of our service, Taste of Premier. And I'm going to pipe that into a for each loop, because what I want to do is iterate over all of the VMs that get Azure VM returns. So I'm going to say for each. And you open a for each loop with a curly brace. And I'm going to create a new variable. I want to construct the file name that I want to use to store the RDP file on my local machine. So I'm going to name it the way you create a new variable in PowerShell. It's just simply by using a dollar sign. So I'm going to say RDP is what I'm going to just arbitrarily name it. And I'm going to store it in C:PS demo. And so now I have to construct this file name and store it in this variable. So I'm going to give it the same name as the VM. And PowerShell has this really cool syntax that you can actually use a dollar sign underscore. And what this actually does is it refers to the output of the previous command. So if you recall, when I ran get Azure VM, one of the things it returned was the listing of all my VMs and the property of each one of those VMs is the name. So I need to grab the name of each one of the VMs from the previous command. So that's what I'm referring to the previous command with that dollar sign underscore. I'm going to say dot name. And then I need to put an extension on it. So I need to say dot RDP. So this is now I've got a variable to hold the file name. So now I need to run that get Azure remote desktop file for each one of the VMs that I find. So I'm going to say get Azure remote desktop file. I'm going to give it the name of the service, Taste of Premier. Now I need to get the name of the VM that I want to actually pull this down for. So I'm going to use that same dollar sign underscore name because now I want to actually get the name of the VM from the previous command. And I want to tell it where I want to store this. So I'm going to say local path, and that is my variable. So all of this together, hopefully, if I hit enter, it should just run. And if I go back to my folder, you can see I actually have a Taste of Premier and Ryberry test. So these two files just got pulled down by running that particular commandlet. So this is a way you can kind of string together a bunch of commandlets in PowerShell to be able to do things over the for maybe 2, 3, 4, maybe hundreds of servers that customers might have deployed into Azure.
That's awesome that it's all scriptable. I mean, I could see that saving somebody a lot of time, right? In fact, I think you could probably just give that script to an admin, have them run it, and they've got all the RDPs that they need.
That's correct, yep. So yeah. It makes it very easy for them to connect to it. And you can picture this being used for all kinds of different things, moving VMs from from one storage account or moving VHDs rather from one storage account to another. There's lots of different things that you can automate that you might need to do repetitively that might require a lot of clicks through the portal that PowerShell makes it very easy to do. One final thing I want to show you is that within PowerShell, the one thing we can do is on a running VM is I can actually add drives to it. So I'm actually logging into my VM here. And when it actually comes up, it's going to take a moment here. So I'm just going to go ahead and go into disk management. I'll go ahead and open up Explorer 2. So this is our Taista Premier VM that my web application is actually actively deployed and running to. And you can see that I've got, I want to highlight a couple things about this first. There's a C drive. This is where the operating system is installed to. And Azure has this concept of temporary storage. So every VM that's provisioned has a D drive. And this is extremely high-speed storage. It's actually running on the physical host or that exists on the physical host that this VM is deployed to. The interesting thing about this D drive is that if I put anything on it, when I reboot my VM, it's actually obliterated. So it's not persistent. So this is a good place to put things like SQL transaction logs, maybe, or actually what's installed on here by default is the page file. So it's very high-speed storage that is temporary. And there's actually some instructions on the Azure portal that we can point to in the show notes of how you can actually move the D drive to a different drive letter. A lot of customers might take a VM from their own data center, move it into Azure, and they might use drive D to store their applications. So that might not work particularly or be a particularly useful thing to have happen. In that particular scenario, so customers can actually make it, maybe drive Z or, some other drive letter instead of drive D. So I also have a drive F. This is a new drive that I've added into Azure, so it's or into this particular VM. It's 10 gigabytes. So customers might want to do this, and you can do it natively through the portal, but they might want to do this over the 2, 3, 4, 10. Or hundreds of VMs. So I'm going to go ahead and walk you through how you can do that very very easy and straightforward in the PowerShell environment. So there's a commandlet called add Azure data disk, and we actually need to use that in conjunction with our get Azure VM commandlet. And we use that get Azure VM commandlet on the previous example here. So I'm going to go ahead and tell it specifically that I want to work with this particular VM that I'm actually logged into. So Taista Premier. So I have to use the pipe symbol again, and I'm going to run the add Azure. I hit tab a little bit too soon. So add Azure data disk is a commandlet I want to run. And I'm going to create a new drive to actually attach to this VM. So I'm going to say I want to create new. And I have to tell it how big I want this drive to be. So I say disk size in GB. So I'll just, I'll say 20 this time. And I can actually give it a label. I can say, test through PS maybe, through PowerShell. And I have to tell it, I have to give it a logical unit number. So, in the storage world, every volume added to a machine has to have a unique LUN. So I know that LUN3 actually is not used. Azure VM. So there, I'm going to pipe this command to, I'm going to follow that up with a update Azure VM. So what this commandlet should do is get the settings for the Taista Premier VM and actually pass that into this next VM or next commandlet, the add Azure data disk. And if we're lucky and all goes well when I run this, there's one thing that I'm missing. So what is saying that I need is the media location. It needs to know the location and my storage account of where I want to actually store this VHD. So I'm going to show you that where you can obtain this really quickly in the Azure portal. This is actually the storage account that I'm using right here. This dev test, this is actually created automatically for me through Visual Studio. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the dashboard here, and it shows me the details of each of the, or the URLs or for each of the storage accounts. So VHDs go in blob storage. So I'm going to go ahead and copy that to my clipboard. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we need to get the name from the Azure portal, the storage container I want to use. So I got the blob storage container from the portal, and I added this VHDs directory as well as specifying the name of the VHD that I actually want to create. So when I hit enter, it should go ahead and add my drive to this particular VM, and then we can flip over to the VM and actually see that drive there. So it'll take a moment here. And while that's running, I'm going to fire up the disk manager on my server.
Okay.
And we should see. So that succeeded. And you can see it's prompting me that, telling me I have a new disk. And you can see it's 20 gigs. That's my temporary drive. It's 20 gigs right here. This is disk 2, and it's unallocated, so I can actually create a new simple volume and actually format this drive, and it'll assign it a drive letter, and I can actually use it for installing applications or, putting a SQL database on or what have you. So, you know, PowerShell can be used to do some pretty powerful things on the VM itself. You know, as you can see, my VM just detected that particular storage was attached and provisioned behind the scenes by running that particular PowerShell commandlet.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's something that I know a lot of people will find useful.
Yeah, absolutely. So, those are just certainly the tip of the iceberg on some of the things you can do with the PowerShell commandlet. So I'd encourage you all, if you've not done so already, to go out and make use of your MSDN Azure benefits, and if you've not enabled them to certainly do so, and you can actually kick the tires with walking through some of the things that we've talked about in this episode. Download the Azure PowerShell commandlets and use some of the things we walked through to do this yourself.
And the really cool thing is, all you need is an MSDN account.
That's right. That's all you need to do. Anybody with an MSDN account, depending on the level of MSDN that you have different allotments of Azure usage per month. And if you happen to have an MSDN Ultimate account, it's $150 a month of benefits that you receive. You don't need any credit card or any special things to be able to make use of that. You can certainly assign a credit card to it and use it for more than $150 a month if you'd like.
Yeah, that's cool. So I have one more very, very important question to ask you. And that is that Chip and Dale behind you?
That is, in fact, Chip and Dale behind me. Yeah, they are. I am a Disney nut, and they are indeed my favorite characters. So.
Yeah, so where do you live again?
I live in Michigan, so I'm quite a ways north of the Mickey Park.
But. So you're far from both.
Yes. I've been to both, but...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love Disney. We go all the time, and it's certainly fun, although it's getting pretty expensive.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, I want to thank you for doing the show again. I certainly want to have you back again another time. You know, we'll think of another really cool aspect of Azure to have you talk about, and there are so many, so it's not going to be difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and without further ado, I guess that's your taste of Premiere.
Yeah, we'll see you guys later.